The following is a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of the owners or management of MyTalk 107.1.
What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
And welcome to the Red Hot Real Estate Show, live on MyTalk 107.1. And we are also live streaming MyTalk107.1.com. And it's nice to be back in studio after a very well-deserved time off for the Thanksgiving holiday.
We missed you, Kelly.
I missed you, Mimi.
We had all kinds of good Southern food down in Kentucky.
Oh, my goodness.
Hot browns.
You didn't bring a plate?
I didn't even bring pictures.
Golly, you're supposed to be taking pictures of your food. Well, that is always needed and necessary. Of course, I'm here with Mimi Shoneman, realtor with RE/MAX Results. And joining us today in studio is Jeff O'Brien, real estate attorney with Mansfield, Tannick and Cohen. And I thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, it's glad and good to be here.
And we're going to be talking about contracts today. And I know there's a lot of questions when it comes to real estate law. I think a lot of people have questions and a lot of things can come up. We have questions on the show quite a bit about the disclosure forms, which we've talked about in the past, and different things like that. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah, and we welcome our listeners to give us a call to here to the show and ask Jeff the questions that you've always been wanting to know.
The tough questions, because he is an expert. So I'm going to give you the number, 651-641-1071. If you do have a question for Jeff or a question for Mimi, we can get off topic. A lot of snowfall on the ground since last time we met. So if you do have a question, maybe you're preparing to sell your home in the spring, which I am already looking forward to, even though this is only the second snowfall of this season. But if you have a question about buying or selling, Mimi is the expert, 651-641-1071. So don't be shy. Give us a call this afternoon. We have a lot to get to. As I said, we'll have a listen and win code for 2,500 points to the prize closet. And let's see, what else am I forgetting? The Red Hot House of the Week. And one thing I will say, that the Timberwolves are going to be playing an NBA season. So they're going to be back. We don't know how they're going to do, but we hope they do well. But the hottest ticket in town, and we've been saying this on this show, are the Minnesota Wild.
That's right. And we're giving away a couple of free tickets. All you have to do is go to www.redhotgrandprize.com and you can register for those. Also, if you're looking for real estate, mortgage, financial planning, any of that sort of information, you can just click the appropriate box and we'll have our professionals get back in touch with you. Redhotgrandprize.com for a couple of free Minnesota Wild tickets. And we'll be doing that drawing the first week of January when we're back from the break.
It sounds good. And all I have to say is the holiday season, a lot of people are looking for that perfect gift. How about that? That would be an awesome present to find under the tree. But I mean, we won't find out until after, but you know.
Exactly.
It'd be good forward thinking. Right now, we're going to get to one of our listeners right away, and it's Mary. And Mary, you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show, and your question is on contracts with the house.
Well, actually, it's twofold. I have 3 years left on my house that I bought 20 years ago. Market assessment and the market value has gone down the last 4 years to about $10,000 more than what I paid for it in 1992. Trying to understand if I should just pay off my mortgage or what you guys know about the market assessment versus the assessment that you get for your property, and you could talk about that, or is this not an appropriate time?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, we can talk about it.
Thanks for your call, Mary. I guess, you know, we'd need to know a little more about what your personal financial goals are with regard to paying off your mortgage.
Sure.
Jeff, do you have any thoughts about that?
I think you said you were 3 years away from paying off your mortgage.
Yeah, and I could pay it off right now. But the thing is it kind of bothers me that, you know, it was, you know, I never did any of the refinancing or anything when all the mortgages went way up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So but I don't know, the market value went down $30,000 from last year, and it had gone down $18,000 the year before. So it's, you know, it's a tax write-off, but it's nominal, and it's, I'm just, you know, a little befuddled that what, you know, if I was to sell it, would I put the assessment value on it, or... I don't really know. I bought a house 20 years ago, you know.
Okay, Mary. So if you're thinking that you're going to sell the house here soon, that might be something that you'd want to sit down with a realtor. I'd be happy to sit down with you about that and do a free market analysis on your house. Also, I'd probably suggest that maybe you reach out to a financial planner if you don't already.
I do.
Okay,
that's
good.
It. I have that.
Okay.
And I don't want to sell my house, I'm just curious on what benefit do I have? Is the assessments going to go up? Is the property values going to go up? You know, I didn't buy it for an investment, obviously, but I would like to have at least more, a heck of a lot more than what I paid for it 20 years ago.
Well, right. At some point, the property values are going to go back up. I mean, right now, we don't know if we've hit bottom yet, but, you know, and there's lots of different opinions as to when it's going to hit bottom. Has it hit bottom? Is it going back up? But keep in mind too, there's a tax consideration here too. If this is your primary residence, and this is your first mortgage, you're going to have, at least right now, a tax deduction every year for your mortgage, the interest you pay on that mortgage. So paying it off now completely, you know, in the next couple of years, you wouldn't have that interest deduction. Now, there's been some debate in Congress as to whether or not, in all this, you know, deficit discussion, tax issues, whether or not they're going to keep that deduction. But right now, it is there. So that's another person you want to have a discussion with, is your accountant, to find out if that's, you know, saving you some taxes every year by having that mortgage interest deduction too.
Yeah, and
so,
Mary,
I did refinance. For one day, the mortgage at a 15% loan went down to 4.25, like 10 years ago. So I had a 15-year mortgage for 4.25, and that's why it'll be paid off in 4 years. So I do have that. So I'm just, you know, I don't know, should I just keep on it, or should I look and, you know, if all these other houses are going for what I paid for 20 years ago, should I put my house up for sale and try and get into a newer home and not with the hassle? You know, I just don't know what you guys are recommending.
You know, right? Mary, what we could do is we could take your information and get back in touch with you, because we would need to run the numbers on your house and sit down and have a conversation about it. So why don't we give you to our producer, Angie, and she can get your information. We can give you a call offline first part of the week.
Thank you, Mary, so much for giving us a call. And there's a lot of considerations. And one thing on the show, if anybody is out there listening, we have to ask a lot of questions to get those answered. A lot of questions to Mary, and sometimes to preserve her privacy, we're not going to be able to do that right here live on the show. So generally speaking, we can try to help her and put her in the right direction. But just for our listeners out there, it's hard to get some of those questions answered live on air, unless Mary wants to put all her business out there. We don't want that. Next up is going to be Clay. And Clay, you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show. What's your question?
Hi there. I've got a question. I've got some properties that were left to me through some inheritance. And I found that it's become difficult to sell those properties due to certain groups of individuals not being able to get mortgage loans anymore. Elderly people, people on fixed income, people who own their own, run their own business, are finding it difficult to get mortgages. My concern, though, is if I own or finance the properties, what happens if one of the tenants or one of the new owners dies, which is likely if I'm talking about elderly people and a 30-year note?
Well, thanks for your question, Clay. Actually, we do have an expert in studio, Jeff O'Brien with Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen, and that is part of our subject matter today, is to talk about contracts for deeds. So, Jeff?
Sure. Clay, yeah, what you're talking about, when you're talking about seller financing of real estate, that is, you know, what Minnesota calls it a contract for deed, meaning that instead of having an outright sale where you give a deed at closing and there's the buyer takes a mortgage and makes mortgage payments to the lender, instead they're making payments to you over time as you're the seller and you're the lender. And, you know, you can charge an interest rate, you guys negotiate on a price. And, you know, this nice Minnesota has some uniform forms for a contract for deed, and there's an addendum form as well, and you can fill those out yourself, or I work with clients all the time that complete that, with to help them complete those forms to make sure that their deal is papered right. You record it, you know, and you know, and then you go about your relationship. If someone dies, you know, whether it be a death or something else, or if they just can't pay, if there's a default in a contract for deed, the general rule in Minnesota is that your remedy is to cancel the contract by serving a notice, and there's a statute that provides the form of the notice. You serve it on them like you would a complaint in a lawsuit, and they have 60 days to either bring the contract current or the contract is canceled. And the benefit is you get to retain all the payments that have been made up to that point. So that's how a contract for deed typically works. If someone dies and they're no longer paying on the contract, you'll have, obviously there's some issues with, you know, depending on what they have for an estate, if there's a probate and things like that. But that's generally how a contract for deed works. So I can't say with any certainty that if someone dies, it'll be a default and you can take it back, but you'll certainly have a claim for if they stop paying on the contract.
Okay, so it would be slightly different than if I was a bank, but if they died and the estate didn't want to pay for the house or get another mortgage on the house and pay me off, then it's possible that it would default back. I was just concerned that I may have to pay the estate some percentage of the principal that was...
No, there's no repayment of any amounts that you have collected on a contract for deed. That's the idea of the contract for deed. You don't have any, you typically, unless there's rare circumstances, you don't get to go after a buyer for, the, you know, in a contract, it's a vendee is the legal term we assign to the buyer. You won't be able to go after the vendee for a money judgment for any money that would be owed on the contract going forward. But if you cancel, then you get to keep the payments that have been made up to that point.
All right.
Clay, thank you so much for giving us the call this afternoon, and it's time for us to take our first break. But we will be talking about contracts with Jeff here throughout the hour, but we can also answer any question you might have, like Mary or Clay gave us a call this afternoon already. 651-641-1071 is our phone number, 651-641-1071, and you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1.
Entertaining talk about people and pop culture. My Talk 107.1. A little gossip, a lot of laughs.
'Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go, as you shoot across the sky.
Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1. I am here with Mimi Shoneman, of course, always, every Sunday, Realtor with RE/MAX Results. Today, Jeff O'Brien is here, and he's a real estate attorney with Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen, answering our listeners' questions on contracts or anything related to real estate. 651-641-1071. Is our phone number, 651-641-1071. And Mimi, I can imagine, before we get back to our contract talk, I can imagine that you're still going out with your clients. I mean, the snow doesn't deter you.
No, actually.
Do you just have another cuter boots? Or like, did you get some snow boots or something?
No, I did splurge on boots before Thanksgiving, but not the snow boot kind, so.
Maybe Santa will bring you some new boots.
Yeah,
for
let's drop that hint out there for him.
Right. So are you seeing a lot of people still continuing to go out, open houses? Obviously, slow down, but I still see the signs posted. I saw one driving in.
It's very busy out there. I'd like the listeners to know that there's tons of buyer activity. Inventory levels continue to go down, which is a good sign. And we're looking more, as the pendulum swings, to more of a normalized market. I think that the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors, I think we see about 6 to 7 months worth of inventory out there, and that as close as you can get it to 5 or 6, that's a little bit more of a normalized market.
And remind our listeners about the free market analysis, because that doesn't stop. That's year round.
Absolutely. If folks out there are curious what their property is worth, or they are thinking about possibly selling, have them give us a call here at the Red Hot Real Estate Show, and we'd be happy to do a free market analysis, absolutely no obligation, so that we can let you know what kind of position that you would be in if you are interested in possibly selling.
So it's one of those things that a lot of people don't know about, but it's a really significant thing if you're considering selling your house. And you really have to get prepared now for the spring. A lot of people don't think about it like that, but if you're planning on selling, that's when the fresh coat of paint, like this winter time, is where you're hibernating and getting things fixed and polished, ready
absolutely.
To go.
Absolutely, yeah. And folks are calling. We're having a lot of activity with people calling, thinking about selling in the spring, and they're curious to know, is now the time to do it? When is the time to do it? If you need to sell or you want to sell, the spring market actually does kick off in January. So, think about it. Give us a call. We'd love to help you.
All right. So 651-641-1071 is our phone number. If you have a question, anything related to real estate, maybe you're considering buying a home. We talked about townhouses the last few times we've been together. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. We're here live. So, Jeff, let's talk about and kind of bring it back to contract for deed. And I know a lot of our listeners have questions about that. But if you can explain what exactly it is, because there are a few different names that some people, maybe some old school people, have a different name for it. But
yeah, I mean, it's the legal term is contracts for deed. Some states call it land contracts. Some people will use that term sometimes here, even here in Minnesota. It's seller financing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of them now. You know, in my practice, I work all, in all different areas of real estate and with investors, with some homeowners, various people. And this is a big thing right now, and it comes up in a lot of different ways. Number one, it comes up as a lot of people are looking at possibly selling on a contract because their house is maybe underwater. They want to wait out. They don't want to try to sell it now and do a short sale, so they're going to hold on to it and take payments from a new buyer. That strategy isn't always the best, because one thing about a contract for deed is it is a transfer of title. And in Minnesota, we have this kind of goofy system where it's called legal title and equitable title. And when you own a property like any of us do, where we own our house and pay a mortgage, we own both legal and equitable title. When you sell a property on a contract, or even when you put a property on a purchase agreement, equitable title goes to the buyer or the vendee on the contract for deed. So you have this split of title. Why it matters is most mortgages have a clause that says a transfer of title triggers a clause. It's called a due on sale clause. It gives the lender the right. It's a default in your mortgage, and it gives the lender the right to accelerate the loan and call the loan due. So for homeowners that are looking to use a contract for deed to stay in a property without a short sale because if the property is underwater when you look at their mortgage, a contract isn't the best option, because a contract is also required by law to be recorded, or the buyer can actually pay some penalties on that. So that's not always the best strategy. If you're in a situation where you don't have any mortgages out there, you just would like to see the market come back and make a little bit more money than if you were just to sell it outright, contract for deed is a perfect option. The flip side of where we help people is for those folks that maybe have gone through a short sale or have gone through a bankruptcy or have gone through a foreclosure and their credit's dinged up, but maybe it was because of a job loss and now they have a new job and they have money again. If they find a property that's available on a contract for deed, they can make that monthly payment on the contract or whatever the payment's going to be. And at the same time, they're rebuilding their pay, by having a payment history, they're starting to establish good credit again, to the point where they can go into a mortgage, maybe say 5-10 years down the road, you have a balloon payment on the contract for deed, and now the person owns the property free and clear, and the seller, you know, gets paid off and goes away. So it's in the right circumstances, it's a very powerful tool to move real estate. And right now it's a powerful tool for those folks that are trying to get back into the housing market to possibly rehab themselves and get ready to take on a mortgage again.
I get that question a lot, Jeff, about contract for deed. I think that the one point, as you mentioned, the due on sale clause, I think a lot of folks are confused about that. They feel that they could sell or finance it even though they have a mortgage on it. So it's important for them to know that most mortgages will have that due on sale clause so that they do need to own the property outright, free and clear, before they could consider a contract for deed as an option.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we always talk about, you know, lease options or rent to own at the same, on the flip side of the contract for deed discussion, because that's the alternative where the buyer right now, they're a tenant. They pay an option fee. They have the right to buy it at a certain price or formula down the road, but there's nothing that's being recorded on the property presently that would trigger that due on sale clause for the current owner.
Right. And I think too, another good point, as you mentioned, for folks that have maybe been in a short sale or foreclosure, reach out to your realtor to see if they can help you find a property that the seller is willing to sell on a contract for deed, because that information is on the MLS for a lot of the properties, and we're able to help folks figure out if there are properties that would match what their criteria is, even though they have credit that needs to be repaired.
Jeff, you talked about some of the reasons why people consider a contract for deed. Talk about some of the advantages of a contract for deed for some folks.
Well, like I said, for the seller, the advantage is the fact that they get to maybe collect more, in payments than they would if they were just to do an outright sale. And
right
now it's twofold, because as the market starts to recover and go back up, their market value of the property they own could be more down the road. Okay, so, you know, right now they might be, if they were to put it on the market now and sell it, they might be selling it for less than what they could get, say, 5 years from now. The real benefit for the seller on a contract for deed, though, is, you know, it is seller financing, so there's an interest rate to be charged, okay? So instead of the seller getting a price for the property and the lender getting paid principal and interest payments over a period of time, you could, say, have a 5-10 year contract for deed at 8%, and the seller is not only getting paid a chunk of the principal of the purchase price, but also 8% 8% interest. So there is, as an investment option, a contract can be a good way to make a little more money than just the price of the home as it's valued now. So that's the advantage on the seller side.
Let's get to one of our listeners right now, and it's Charmaine. And Charmaine, you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1. And what is your question for us this afternoon?
Hi, Jeff. My question is, in regards to a rental property, what are the pros and cons of putting a rental property into a trust account versus putting it into an LLC?
Well, Charmaine, I typically advise clients to put that into a rental property into an LLC. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that talk about this, you know, this land trust or Illinois land trust, and I kind of jokingly say it's called Illinois land trust for a reason, because it's authorized under a statute in the state of Illinois, not in Minnesota. And you know, to me, people put it in a trust because of a belief that they somehow can have greater privacy, or some, you know, by owning the property within a trust. If it's a revocable, like, living trust, there is no creditor protection for something like that. If it's an irrevocable trust, there's some significant tax consequences by putting it in there. There may be some creditor protection. Bottom line is, you know, the single member limited liability companies are so inexpensive to set up and so easy to administer and operate. And I always advocate for using of LLCs over trust when it comes to rental investment property.
What if you were looking at it in regards to a probate situation? So you're looking at, you know, what you're passing down to your heirs. Would that make any difference?
Well, keep in mind, you could still set up an LLC and set up, you could use both. You could have a trust that owns the LLC interest, and so what you're passing on, you know, down to future generations is LLC interests. And there's lots of different neat estate planning techniques, and I do a little bit of estate planning, so there's a lot of different techniques you can use with that. But the bottom line is, when you're dealing with rental property in Minnesota, Minnesota's in terms of its legal structure is very pro-tenant. It's very hard to be a landlord in the state of Minnesota, and there's a lot of litigation out there. You know, just so some of the cases I see, it's sometimes it boggles the mind that someone would even bring the case. It's not a high bar to bringing a lawsuit in Minnesota. And so as a liability protection, an LLC is a better alternative there. Whether or not you want to do some other estate planning on top of that, we can take your info. I'm happy to talk with you. But there are some techniques you can use in trust combined with LLCs in terms of passing it down to future generations too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for giving us a call, Charmaine, and thanks for listening to the show. Before we head off to break, I want Mimi to remind our listeners about the Red Hot Grand Prize.
Yeah, we'd love for you to check out our Red Hot Grand Prize. All you have to do to register for the two free Minnesota Wild tickets that we're giving away is go to www.redhotgrandprize.com, submit your information. We are going to be doing that drawing before the end of the year for Wild tickets in January.
Well, as I mentioned, we have to go to break right now, but 651-641-1071 is our phone number. If you have a question, Jeff O'Brien is here answering your contract kind of legal questions for us this afternoon. So 651-641-1071. You're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Coming up after the break, a listen and win code, and of course, our Red Hot House of the Week.
Your Dirt Alert Station.
Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert.
The latest entertainment and celeb news at 820, 1220, and 520. Weekdays on My Talk 107.1.
Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1. I really like this song. Do you remember the video where they were all on the treadmills and they did the whole dance? Do you remember that? No? Oh my gosh.
No.
Angie, do you remember?
I do, yeah.
Oh man,
yeah.
That was really good. That was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Playing the oldies here, Angie.
Back to the classics,
what
Kelly.
What's going on? I am here with Jeff O'Brien, real estate attorney with Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen, and of course, Mimi Schoenemann, realtor with RE/MAX Results, joining you every Sunday afternoon here at My Talk 107.1. 651-641-1071 is our phone number, 651-641-1071. If you have a question, anything related to real estate, we've spent most of the hour talking a lot about contracts since Jeff is here, so definitely use him as a resource if you do have a real estate law related question. Let's first do the listen and win code. Why don't we go there first? Okay, well, actually, we'll do the Red Hot House of the Week. That is ready to go.
Okay. Well, we always like to feature a wonderful property on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Every week we try to find something that we think that would really, really interest our listeners. Really priced well, great condition, great price. Today's Red Hot House of the Week is at 1164 Kenilworth Drive in Woodbury. It is absolutely immaculate. It's located in the Evergreen subdivision. Every single room is well appointed. It is a two-story, 3,700 finished square feet. It is ready to move, and we're getting lots of activity on the house, lots of second showings, third showings, in fact. And so if you would like to see Kenilworth Drive, it's open right now from 3 to 5. If you can't make it to the open house, feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a private showing for you. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's priced at only $400,000.
And that's a really good price. Everybody that I know that lives in Woodbury just absolutely loves the neighborhoods, loves that community, and they have great schools and everything there. Looking at the pictures as I usually do, a really nice home. And I know it is winter in Minnesota, and we live in Minnesota, so we've accepted it, but great outdoor entertaining.
Absolutely.
And that's the part I love, because everybody loves a good party, and you know, when you can entertain inside and out, that's a big selling
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And if folks are thinking about selling their house and they'd like to know how they can be the Red Hot House of the Week, all they have to do is message us through the show page. Go to mytalk1071.com, keyword real estate, keyword red hot, and we can get back in touch with you and chat with you a little bit about that further.
All right. You're holding it open today, and usually you're not holding it open today.
It's open right now.
It's open right now because I'm looking at it and I'm like, 3 o'clock, Mimi, I don't know how you're going to be in two places at once.
Yeah, 3 to 5, it's open.
Wow. So did you clone yourself? What happened?
It's a secret.
Okay. Well, definitely reach out to Mimi. We have all of her contact information on our website. It's mytalk1071.com. Cell phone, office, home address, social security number, blood type. All your information is there on our website. Let's get to the listen and win code right now.
The MyTalk 1071. Listen, and win code.
If you listen to win, the prize closet prizes, our keyword today is contract, C-O-N-T-R-A-C-T. That is your prize closet for 2,500 bonus points.
So all you have to do is go to our website. It's mytalk1071.com. Click on the prize closet tab. Load in the word contract for 2,500 points. Lots of great prizes in the prize closet. So let's get right to one of our listeners with a question. And it's Janine. And you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 1071. Now, your question involves a writ of recovery.
That's right.
Okay, what is it?
We have evicted 10 tenants 3 months ago, and they did not rent a place that they lived in. They rented out our garage, our shop, and it's filled with their junk. And so we evicted them, took them to court. We won by default. They never showed up. They basically abandoned the property. And the judge awarded us a writ of recovery because we're wondering what we're going to do with all the people's stuff that's in our shop. Do you guys happen to know, like, what the writ of recovery actually is and how long we have to keep the property? Because we were told by the county that we have to call the sheriff now and they have to come and do an inventory of all the junk that's inside. And then we might have to pay to store the tenant's stuff as well.
Unfortunately, that's correct. That gets back to my last point about Minnesota being a very pro-tenant state in terms of its laws.
Yeah, definitely.
Writ of recovery, you know, and this is, and I'm glad you asked the question because a lot of people think that when someone, you know, stops paying rent on a lease of property, that they can just, you know, that they can just take back possession. And actually, Minnesota doesn't allow a remedy of self-help. You have to go to court, and you have to have an eviction action, the legal term of it is an unlawful detainer, to terminate that person's possessory interest in the property, and the writ of recovery is what's issued as part of that proceeding. Then you go, then you have the ability to contact the county sheriff and have them go out and serve the writ on the party, and or if they aren't there to post the property. There's a lot of different rules as to how that writ has to be handled, and that's why you contact the sheriff's office to take care of that. And then they have a period of time to, you know, I think 24 hours to vacate the property, or the sheriff can actually have them removed. In terms of their stuff, there are some statutes that deal with abandoned property. And this is something I see over and over again, and it's very frustrating for people that they have to store people's junk in order to, because obviously you want to clear them out and re-rent the space, but then they have to deal with all this junk that they've left there. There are some laws that deal with it. You know, there's requirements of having, if you're going to take it off site and store it, it has to be with a licensed, bonded storing, moving and storage company. You do have some rights in terms of recovery of those costs from the other party. It's a little bit of a complicated question. If you wanted more info in terms of specific, you know, advice or timelines, we can get your information. I can certainly talk to you offline. But it is, you're right. It's a complicated process. It's frustrating for a lot of individual landlords, but there are some rules that, and unfortunately you can end up being liable back to the tenant who didn't pay you.
Yeah.
If you don't store if something happens to their abandoned or their property in terms of, you know, give it, and once you give them notice in terms of when there's a point where it becomes deemed abandoned and you can do things with it, but you have to be very, very careful to make sure that you follow those rules to get clearance.
Yeah, and we found that out kind of the hard way because we had given them a written notice, which didn't hold up in court. Obviously, we had to go get the unlawful detainer, which is about, you know, $300, $400. And then, you know, going to court, even you think you're happy because you won your court case because they didn't show up for court. And it's totally the beginning. So now we've had a The eviction notice has been on the door a month. The writ of recovery has been on the door of the shop now for 2 weeks. And it's just like, now what do we do? I mean, we're to the point where we're like, do we need a lawyer? It seems like the county that we live in does not know the laws, because we're getting different information from the sheriff's office, from different sheriffs.
Well,
so what would you suggest that we do? Would it be wise for us to just, at this point, get a lawyer?
Well, I'm biased. I'm going to say yes, but I'm not just doing that as a joke. I mean, it's the landlord-tenant laws in this state are very, very technical.
Very.
And you know, myself and some of my colleagues, we do work in this area. We handle a lot of landlord-tenant issues. So, like I said, we can get your information and we can contact you, and we can certainly analyze your situation and see what we can do to help.
Okay, that would be great.
Thank you, Janine, for giving us a call, and thank you so much for listening to the show. I think learning more about the legal issues that some people face, the easiest part is winning a judgment. It's actually getting those monies when you need it. I mean, when you file a judgment or anything like that, the judge can say, yep, I agree with what you're presenting to us, but actually getting the amount of money that you're awarded is the hard part.
That's exactly right. It's really easy to get a judgment. It's a heck of a lot harder to try to find stuff that's available to satisfy the judgment. And that's, you know, like I said, I work with a lot of different people in the real estate world, and, you know, we've been chasing people sometimes for years, making sure that, you know, judgment liens are recorded against properties and seeing if there's anything that we can find and turn over to collect for our clients. But yeah, sometimes getting the judgment is a heck of a lot easier.
We were talking before the break about contracts for deeds. Do you need an attorney to help you go through that process? Because a contract for deed, you really lose a lot of the realtor when you're dealing with that person. You lose a lot of different people in a normal, more traditional process.
Yep. Well, the first thing with a contract is, and the answer is it depends. Minnesota has a uniform form of a contract for deed. And I, as an attorney, have access to it. Mimi, as a realtor, will have access to it. There's also an addendum form there's some check the boxes, different additional terms that should be addressed in the contract. And so if someone is savvy enough or knowledgeable enough where they feel comfortable enough to actually prepare the contract, you know, that's perfectly fine. A lot of people don't like doing it, so they'll come to us and say, can you prepare the contract? The one point, though, too, is a contract for deed sale is a sale just like any other type of real estate sale, and it should be closed through a title company. It should not, you know, the problems that I see after the fact years later when something happens usually arose because somebody did it themselves and shoved it in a drawer or didn't record it, didn't do something. Because they weren't at a title company that would have told them the right way to do it. And so that's at a minimum, you need to be closing these just like you would any other real estate sale, because you're going to find, if I understand right, there are title insurance policies available for those different interests in a contract for deed. So, you know, again, you have to go through a title company to get those policies. In terms of whether or not you need us to do it, it's all a comfort level thing.
Right.
We certainly do them all the time. We try to be pretty cost effective. But the main thing is use that uniform form wherever you're going.
Right, because eliminating the middleman might not be the best thing for you or your future.
Right, you could be buying into future problems by trying to save a few bucks up front.
And while it seems like it's a simple deal of seller financing, it's actually not as simple as you might think. There's a lot of little nuances that you might want to consider putting into the contract for deed just for protection. And like Jeff said, you want to make sure that it closes exactly the appropriate way and that the appropriate title insurance is in place.
Well, it is time for us to take our final break this afternoon, but if you have a question for Jeff O'Brien, he's a real estate attorney with Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen, you can give us a call this afternoon, noon, or Mimi Shoneman. She's, of course, here, realtor with RE/MAX Results. Our phone number is 651-641-1071, 651-641-1071. You're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1.
It's the Santa Project.
Hey, Santa. Are you listening? My Talk 107.1 knows a bunch of kids who are spending the holidays far from home while they or a sibling are getting life-saving medical care in the Twin Cities.
They're at the Ronald McDonald House in Minneapolis, and we've got their wish list at mytalk1071.com. Keyword Santa.
I want some Legos for Christmas.
I like a little party.
And Santa, My Talk 107.1 has lined up 40 places where you can drop off toys, gift cards, gifts for the parents, even supplies for the Ronald McDonald House. This year's Santa stops include Allure Intimate Apparel, Wild Rose Cafe, ABC and Toy Zone, Stonewater Skin and Laser, and more.
And hey, Santa, stop by one of our live Santa Stop broadcasts. Meet Lori and Julia Wednesday the 7th at Let's Dish at the Shops at Arbor Lakes in Maple Grove. Or head to Stonewater Skin and Laser in Vadnais Heights on December 8th to drop off your Santa project gifts with everyone's favorites, or at least Santa's, Jason and Alexis.
See all the Santa Stops, live broadcast dates, and wish lists, all at mytalk1071.com, keyword Santa.
Thank you, Santa. Santa.
Shout aloud, scream aloud, let me hear you go. Baby, I like it, the way you move on the floor. Baby, I like it, come on and give me some more. Oh yes, I like it, screaming like never before. Baby, I like it, I like it. Party, come on, fiesta, forever.
And welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show. I'm Kelly Jordan, here with Mimi Shoneman, realtor with RE/MAX Results. Jeff O'Brien has been with us throughout the hour. He's a real estate attorney with Mansfield, Tannick, and Cohen. And for the most part, we've been answering our listeners' questions about anything under the sun, but we're talking mostly about contracts today since Jeff is here with us. But if you have a question, we can try to get to it before the top of the hour, before the Minnesota Wealth Show starts at 651-641-1071 is our phone number, 651-641-1071. I'm going to get right now to one of our listeners right now, and it's Lois. And Lois, you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1. What is your question?
Hi, yes. I have a question for you about the Zillow listings that you can find online.
Okay.
We built a house in 1989, and we refinanced in 2005. And the number we thought was extremely low when the bank came in and reassessed the house. It's an upper bracket house. And we have found that we'd talked to friends, and everyone found that there was no number listed on Zillow unless they refinanced. And I was just wondering how that number gets there. How does that that refinancing number appear on Zillow?
Well, thanks for your call, Lois. You know, we're certainly no Zillow experts here, but essentially that's the way that most services pull information from tax records and from sold data that the MLSs across the country provide. So whatever is available from a public record perspective can show up on those sort of sites. What I will share with you, though, while that's a very, very nice service to be able to utilize, it's not 100% accurate, the information that you find on there. What your best bet is to contact a realtor that you would trust and have them do a free market analysis for you.
Well, we did. We were going to put the house on the market in 2008, and obviously the market was not good at that time. And we did bring in four realtors from four different companies. Three of them came up with the number that was printed on Zillow, and everyone that we know after they've had bank financing is when the number will appear. People that have not refinanced their houses, that number doesn't appear. So the realtors, unfortunately, three out of four of them, it wasn't a coincidence, I don't think, pulled that number.
Okay. Well, while I can't speak to what they did or didn't do for you, they should have been able to show you comparable properties that had features and benefits that were similar to yours in a range around your house, not too far. Granted, if you're in an isolated area where there aren't a lot of homes to compare yours to, they'll have to move the search out a little bit. But they should be able to show you line by line how so many properties that have sold within the last 6 months compare with yours, mm-hmm. so that you can arrive at a figure that makes sense, that's logical. And so I applaud you for checking with multiple sources. And again, I can't really speak to why they all came up with the same Zillow number. But that's not how we do market analysis.
Is that released from, obviously, from the bank? Is that information released from the bank? Because it happened right after that. There was no number or listing for our home on Zillow until it was refinanced.
Yeah, you know, they can pull information from public sources in a lot of different locations, so it'd be really hard for me to know exactly where they pulled that data. But if it's public record, it can be found.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Thank you, Lois, for giving us a call this afternoon, and thank you so much for listening to the show. A lot of people have questions regarding that service. We hear it a lot, and it's one thing that we should caution our listeners about is that it's not that accurate.
Well, you know, you want to make sure that it is as accurate as possible. Your comps need to be within a certain range of a distance of your property, and it also needs to be done with information that's been collected within the last 6 months. If you've got information of homes that have sold past 6 months, it's just not the same market that we find ourselves in today. It needs to be more relevant, more current.
Well, I know we don't have a terrible amount of time left in today's show, and I know we wanted to get to a few more things with Jeff this afternoon, so...
Well, we wanted to kind of go through a few things about short sales because we get so many calls, mm-hmm. you know, to the station about those. And so, Jeff, you know, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit of what we've talked about so many times about deficiency judgments?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of people talk about they just want to walk away from their mortgage, and they have a first or second mortgage. And, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about the different types of foreclosure and all that kind of stuff. But in Minnesota, there is this non-judicial way of foreclosure, and so there most of the time, if you're dealing with a first mortgage, you're not going to get a deficiency judgment against you if you're talking about a foreclosure on your home. If, however, you have a second mortgage, there is no requirement that there's a lot of people that think that the second mortgage is just kind of SOL because they have to redeem and then they have to own the property and they can just walk away from it. Not true. A second mortgage holder is not obligated to redeem a property that's been foreclosed by the first mortgage and then hold a property that has zero to negative equity. A mortgage is just security for a debt, and the evidence of the debt is a promissory note, and the second mortgage holder has every right to bring a lawsuit against the borrower for a money judgment for the amounts owed under the note. So if you're in that situation where you've got a first and a second and the property's underwater, walking away from the home is going to come back and bite you. You should be trying to do a short sale, in my opinion, or at a minimum, be trying to negotiate some kind of a payoff with your second mortgage holder because you're going to have to deal with them at some point.
Exactly.
I'm going to get to one of our listeners right now, and it's Laura. And Laura, you're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show. You're trying to purchase a property right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, we are trying to purchase a piece of property. It's roughly a little over half an acre. And it had an old, like a hunting shack and a shed on the property. So in our purchase agreement, as an addendum, we ask that they remove at the seller's expense all the buildings, storage buildings, and miscellaneous debris from the property to buyer satisfaction prior to closing. They went ahead and supposedly removed all of that, and we went for our walkthrough to inspect the property. And basically it looks like they knocked the structure down and buried it in the ground. And so we found all kinds of debris from cement blocks to rebar to screen to metal siding, all this stuff just on top of the surface. We didn't even dig down any further than that. And we're wondering kind of where we go from here. We don't want to lose the sale. We don't want to just walk away from it. But how do we proceed now?
You haven't closed yet?
No.
Okay. Well, this is the time to negotiate that. I mean, if your contract said should be removed to buyer satisfaction, there should be some communication back to the seller that's not satisfactory to you. I understand you're worried about, I mean, it does come down to a business judgment here to you, determining whether or not you want to risk losing, you know, them, you know, not changing their, you know, and removing the debris and losing the sale versus doing something about it. But there should be a communication back that that is not to your satisfaction. Because if you close on the property with it in the current condition, you're deemed to have waived the that condition,
right,
and that contingency, and then there's no recourse after the sale. So mm-hmm. I would have that discussion with the seller at this time and see if you can get that resolved.
Can they walk away from the sale, even though they agreed to these conditions?
They could say we're not doing anything further to rectify this, and it's up to you whether or not you want to cancel it on that based on that failure to achieve that contingency, mm-hmm. or a waiver of that contingency.
Okay. And if we both signed an agreement to go to arbitration, if things didn't work out the way we wanted to, would that be the next step, or could they just walk away?
I've seen instances pre-closing where disputes under purchase agreements have gone to arbitration. So that, you know, depending on the language of the arbitration addendum, okay. That could be a possibility.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for giving us a call, and thank you for listening to the show. One of those weird situations that can happen towards the end of closing when your eyes are on the prize. So
right,
hopefully she gets a resolution between
That's why it's always important to do a final walkthrough, because you want to make sure that the property is in the same condition as when you wrote the offer, or that if there's contingencies in there, like what she was mentioning about the hunting shack being removed to her satisfaction, you want to be able to actually visually inspect that to make sure that that's happened. I guess one of the questions that popped into my mind was the financial, you know, the liquidity of the seller. If he was a distressed seller or she, perhaps there's not any money to improve those things. And so that might be something that Laura might consider, having to just remove that contingency.
Well, before the end of the show, I definitely wanted to get to the Red Hot Grand Prize. If you can remind our listeners once more about that.
We're giving away some Minnesota Wild tickets at www.redhotgrandprize.com. Go there and register. We're giving them away first part of January. And I would love to thank Jeff O'Brien with Mansfield Tannick & Coyne for being our very special guest today.
All right.
Been a lot of great fun.
Thanks, Jeff, for being here and for Mimi. The Red Hot House of the Week is open right now. I'm Kelly Jordan, and Minnesota Wealth is coming up next on My Talk 107.1.
Brothers got the night to keep you coming around.